Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the AlfredaLoveShow.com and the StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. I'm your host tonight, Dr. Elfrida Love, and this is the day, the night that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am so excited and delighted on tonight that I have God, my family, and my friends, and all of you who are tuning in to the Elfrida Love Show, StellarGospelMusic.com show. Thank you so much. And just, we have 250 individuals on the line. That is great, great, great. Continue to text somebody, tell somebody that the show is on. All right. So on tonight, before we get started, of course, you know we're going to read Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9, because the goodness of God does not change. Amen. Only the days change in our lives, and we change. But God does not change, because he is a God of peace, a God of love, and a God of goodness. But we're going to journey through our book, and God was speaking and showing me something. He says, this is going to be conversational in the teaching. It's going to be just like I'm speaking to you. And so I'm going to give you what the Lord has given unto me. So whatever the Lord gives me out of this particular book that we're going to review, A Spiritual Guide on the Go, Perfecting Your Walk with God by Dr. Elfrida Emmanuel Love, I'm going to give you what the Lord has given unto me. But let us go ahead and get started. We're going to read Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Do you believe that? For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. I have read to you Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for giving us grace and mercy. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning and you sorted us on our way. You even gave us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We ask that you continue to be a beacon and a light unto our lives and help us to walk in the way that you would have us to walk and help us to live and continue to magnify who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the breakthroughs. We thank you for the things that you're going to do and the things you've already done. We put our faith and trust in you, Lord, and we know that you are God of God and you always, always have us close to your heart. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for each person who is joined on today. We thank you for those who will join, and we thank you for the faithful individuals who come every night and listen to your word. We ask now, Lord, would you crown this head from the top to the bottom, and would you open up my ears where I will be able to hear your voice so that we may proclaim the gospel of what you would have us to say, Lord. We ask that we continue to magnify who you are. We continue to be ambassadors for you and leaders for you. We ask in the name of Jesus, will we continue to just edify, magnify who you are. If we had a million tongues, we couldn't thank you enough. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for everything that you have done. We thank you for every answered prayer. We thank you for blessing us And now, Lord, as we begin to relinquish this prayer, we ask that we never be relinquished out of your sight. We ask that you anoint and consecrate this particular teaching on tonight. And we ask that every person who listens be blessed, Lord, whatever it is, because they're individuals who have come seeking something from you. We're excited about the word of God that's about to go forth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the endurance and the stamina and the strength. And we ask in the name of Jesus, would this be acceptable and pleasing in your sight? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And we're going to journey through a spiritual guide on the go. I want you to get comfortable, and I want you to put on some comfortable shoes, or you can pretend like you're on the beach, because we're getting ready to hear the voice of God. We're going to move like the wind, and we are going to explore how we continue to perfect our walk with God. But I want to take you back in time, and I want to give you the purpose, and I want to make this personal unto you, and I want you to receive different levels of walking, because all of us are on different levels when we talk about walking. We're not talking about how great you may walk, or we're not talking about that. When we talk about the levels, we're talking about our relationship and our faith with God. But the purpose of this spiritual guide that God has blessed me to write is to define our faith walk. What is that? What does that look like? And also to identify the principles or the concepts involved in the faith walk. We all know that anytime we journey for God, we're going to be tempted. Anytime we journey for God, we understand that we're going to need strength and mercy, and we're going to need the word of God. And we understand that to increase our faith and awareness with God, we must continue to walk. And as we walk, we must continue to evaluate our walk with God. Notice that I said evaluate our walk. That means looking at ourselves. What are we doing? And then the personal faith walk. What does my walk with God look like? Am I evaluating my walk with God on a daily basis? Every day should be sweeter than the day before. And what could I do to have a closer walk with God? I told you that when my family and I were studying the Bible, we talked about the importance of keeping God close. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that you wear a chain with a cross around your neck. It means that we study the word of God, and we hide those words within our hearts. That means that because we have the Bible, right, and we know the Bible, we're able to know how to live better and do better. And so when we look at the different identifiers or spirituality or the levels of our walking, we're looking basically at three different concepts. We're looking at God, we're looking at Jesus, and we're looking at ourselves. I know that many of you thought I was going to say advanced, advanced high, and just exceptional. No, we are looking at it in a spiritual term. And when we talk about the levels as God is showing, he's showing the relationship. God said, what is your relationship with him, Jesus? What is your relationship with Jesus? What is your relationship with yourself and your fellow man or woman? And so we look at those different levels, and we evaluate ourselves on a daily basis. And every time God says that he is showing us that every time that we interact with humankind, he says once we form that relationship with God, we will know how to treat people. God says that many people are poor in spirit. He says that's why they seek to devour individuals, because they're trying to find joy. They're trying to find joy in materialistic things instead of God. So therefore, what happens is that those individuals who are poor in spirit, right, they have time to seek and devour, because they're trying to find joy, and they will never find it, because God says that their hands, everything that they put their hands on, it will perish. That means it will be cast out. Why? Because he says the intentions of our heart. So we're looking at and identifying our heart. What type of relationship do we have with God? What type of relationship do we have Jesus, who hung on the cross for us? What type of appreciation? That's really what it's asking. What type of heart do we have with the people that we interact with on a daily basis? And so God is really, in this particular area, and we're just walking, God is really looking at the heart. We're not talking about who can run the fastest, or who can walk the fastest, or who's the greatest. We're talking about what aspect of your life What part of greatness is given unto God? What part of greatness is given unto Jesus? What part of greatness is given unto the world that deals with our heart? Then we talk about God personally. And we know that if we look at the Bible in Genesis, we know that God created the heaven and the earth. And we look at how beautiful and how orchestrated. I don't even know if I could draw all of these things. But we look at the sky and how it's a pretty blue and it can change colors and it can become dark. And we look at the sun, how the sun rises and how it sets and how it falls. We look at all those things and how the sun hides at the night because God says that light and darkness cannot be together. And so we look at all of these creations and we know that God has created these particular things for us. And these things that God has created in the earth serve as tools for our lives. Then God gives a vivid picture. When he talks in Genesis, if you read Genesis, they talk about Adam and Eve. And it's a painted picture in which Adam and Eve were in a garden, in the midst of the garden. And God had specifically said, do not eat of the fruit. Some of us are hard-headed. And God specifically said, do not eat of the fruit, right? And so God is showing, he says, you have to be careful. He says, because the enemy comes in sheep's clothing, the enemy comes as snakes, the enemy comes as different in disguise. And God says you have to be very cognizant because, he says, this world is dark. A little bit about this yesterday, but we really didn't get into it a lot. But you have to discern between darkness and light. God says you have to discern between who God has sent and who is of God and who is not. And one of the misconceptions that we have is that the devil is going to come in, you know, in all red and have horns and things of that nature. No. Uh-uh. The devil gives the word of God sometimes. God gave this picture. He says the devil was in heaven. The devil could really sing. The devil was a beautiful angel. And this devil was in heaven, and God had to remove the devil out of heaven because the devil was causing too much confusion and destruction. We call it, in the world, we call it just chaos. And so we want to be grounded. God says that you have to be different. He says, and being different means that our heart, that's why God is asking, what level are we on? You know, we can always analyze ourselves by how we treat each other. We can analyze what is our relationship with God. Because if what we're doing does not glorify God or his people, then our heart is not right with God. And we wonder why everything we touch, it doesn't prosper. We wonder why there is a struggle. But God says that we must be on the level in which we can treat our fellow man or fellow woman right. Right? Because God says, love thy neighbor. But God says that he is our refuge and strength. And that's in Psalms 46:1. And God says, so no matter what comes or what goes, he says, because we're all imperfect humans and he knows the intentions of our heart. He said, that's why he gets you out of those snares. That's why God saves you. That's why God rebukes the devil from us. He says, because he knows our hearts. And so you're wondering, how did I get out of that storm? How did I get out of that hurricane? Because God knows your heart. We look at the outside, but God looks at the inside, and he knows the intentions of our heart. Let's move on. When we look at Jesus, our Savior, wow, that's an endearment. Because when I think about Jesus, I think about someone who gave his life for us. He hung on the cross, and when we look at St. Luke 1:26-38, we find that an angel by the name of Gabriel was sent to this virgin by the name of Mary, and she was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And Gabriel basically told Mary that she would be the mother of the Son of God. And, of course, if someone told you that, if someone told you that your son was going to be the king of this world or that your daughter was going to be the queen of this world, I'm sure that you would be ecstatic. And so we can find the birth of Jesus in St. Luke 2:7-12. And Jesus was born in the city of David, right? And throughout the life of Jesus, and we're walking, y'all, we're not going in depth, but throughout the life of Jesus, we find that he was able to heal the sick and raise the dead. We find that Jesus did many great things while he was on this earth. Now, do we have the capacity to do all that? Not unless we're anointed by God and God gives us that power and that will. But it's only through the unction of God. And so when we look at Jesus and when we talk about being on the level of loving Jesus, right, we're talking about appreciating Jesus for going to the cross for us because we were yet sinners. And so Jesus has already paid the price. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now we're talking about the creation of humans. And believe it or not, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And therefore, he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and we became living souls. The creation of woman can be found in Genesis 2 and 22. And with God's creation, all things are good. God says in every person that we encounter, there is something good about each and every person. But God says we all, he didn't say some people, he didn't say two or three people, he said we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He said we all have. So no one is perfect. And because of this, and we're on earth, God has given us commandments, which can be found in Exodus 23 through 17. But the greatest of these things is that we should have no other gods before God. A lot of people thought I was going to say, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's number two. When we talk about the importance of understanding the commandments, it's very important that we do not put anything before God. It's very important, and I want to stress that because God is really revealing this. When we decide to put things, that includes family, that includes friends, relationships, jobs, whatever it is, before God, God says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. That means that we are only to worship God. How? In spirit and in truth. We're supposed to do that. And basically, when summing up the commandments, God is telling us, if we're really on the level of loving God, loving Jesus, then we shouldn't have any problems with the commandments. Because basically what God is saying, he says, love thy neighbor. He says, don't lust after something that your neighbor has. He says, don't bear false witness. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Keep the Sabbath holy. Right? And so these commandments were established. And sometimes God says the world, we're all guilty of deviating from at least one of these commandments. Every single person. There is not one perfect person in this world. And so we have to continue, God says, to study. He says, you're here. He says, I've kept you here for a reason, because I have a purpose for your life. And he says, here are the commandments. He says, study the commandments on a daily basis. Live by the commandments. He says, and get on the level. When we get on the level where we love God and love Jesus, then we're able to love our sisters and brothers, and we're talking about humankind. Let's move. Okay. Spiritual gifts. We talked about that. Every single person on this earth has a spiritual gift. Did you know that? It doesn't matter if you're an atheist. You have a spiritual gift. When I call or when I say a spiritual gift, you have a gift from God. Anything from God is good. We already know that. We heard that a while ago. But a spiritual gift, you may be able to sing, you may be able to speak, you may be able to relate to people, you may be able to run, you may be able to preach, you may be able to play the piano, whatever it is, it comes from God. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't come from any other being but God. And when we look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, we learn that spiritual gifts are given to us in various areas. Right? Some of us have that discernment. Some of us are able to discern. Right? And all spiritual gifts that we receive, it may differ according to the grace that is given unto us, just like favor. Right? God gives favor to people, and we wonder. But that's not our job to wonder. Our job is to have a relationship with God and Jesus, so we'll know how to treat people on earth. Then we look at 1 Peter 4:10. It says, as every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every perfect gift is from above, James 1:17. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift comes from God. Every person on this earth is good. But for some reason, our minds or our hearts make us corrupt people. That's why it's so important. That's what God is saying when he talks about the levels. He's not talking about how good you can do this or that. He's talking about how great you are in your relationship, how great we are in our relationship with God and Jesus. Those are intact and in line. Then we should have no problem with the world, how we treat people on a daily basis. Okay? So what are some examples of spiritual gifts? We talked about this. Administration, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, giving, helping, hospitality, wisdom, mercy, pastoring, service, teaching, leadership. What is your spiritual gift? What is your desirable gift? And we even gave some definitions. When we talk about administration in the Bible, it relates to being able to give direction unto the people through the word of God. It relates to counseling spiritually. When we talk about counseling, that's what it relates to. But let me tell you about this. As God is speaking, every spirit that comes unto you is not of God. They don't have the right intention. And we have to pray before you do any type of counseling spiritually, because you want to make sure you stay on the right track. You want to make sure that the intentions are correct. And so when we talk about this, Jesus said, when we talk about God, he says, many spirits will come to you because that is your gift. But you have to be able to discern some of those spirits. Because what happens is, it's so many that come, right, that Satan filtrates and he gets in line as well. And you have to be careful who you entertain, because God says you could be entertaining Satan. That's why it's very important to pray unto God. All right? When we talk about discernment, it's a gift of discovery and being able to discern between right and wrong, right? Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. That's in 2 Timothy 2:15. And we have to make sure in 1 John 4:1 that we do not believe every spirit, but we try the spirits. Because why? There are many false people, many false prophets. When we talk about false people, we talk about God says he looks at the heart. God is not worried about the outside appearance. We can have a $1 million suit on and still go to hell. I'm just being real with you. I'm giving you what God has given. But God says he looks at the heart. He's not looking at anything on the outside. He's looking at the why. If we say that we love God, he said, why is it that you hate your neighbor? Why is it that you can't forgive? Why is it? And that's what God looks at. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. They said, how in the world did this person receive favor? Because we're looking on the outside. We don't know what's in that person's heart. God showed, he showed that woman who was caught in adultery. And he says, everybody was, this woman should be stoned. This was in the Bible. And God says, they was looking at the outside. And God said the whole time he knew the inside of her heart. And that's why she was forgiven. And so God says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. But God expects us to do right, and he expects us to do better. But God always, he looks at the heart. Are we able to look at the heart? No. We're able to hear the heart. How is that? As God is showing. God says, because what comes out of the mouth, we can only pretend, and I don't even know how to pretend. I told somebody that. I'm just me. We can only pretend for so long, and then it's going to come out. Whatever's in your heart, it's going to come out eventually, because it's hard. I don't know how it is to pretend. That's why I was never a good actress. I can write all day. I can write plays. I can write movies all day. But acting is not my niche, because I don't know how to pretend. I don't know how to fake, because I'm a genuine person. I'm just me. I'm just out there. I'm who I am. And so God says that we must understand and we must know the spirits. Then he talks about evangelism. In what ways can we convey the word of God to others? Well, of course, we have radio. Of course, we have face-to-face communication. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for our family members. We pray for each and every person, right? And to go and minister unto the world. But God says, how is your heart? Are you doing this? Are you doing these particular things to gain something? What is your motive? And if our motive is more than serving and pleasing God and trying to get the word out to God, he says it perish. He says it dies, because God looks at the motive and he looks at the heart. And when we evangelize to people, right, God says that when we evangelize to individuals and when we pray over individuals, he says it shouldn't be for show. It has to be genuine. This has to be because I want to help sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, in whatever they're going through. And so I'm praying for you. I'm lifting you up. And it has to be sincere. Then we go to exhortation. It's a special empowerment by God to empower others to do positive work. Are we, and I said this before, people, or are we cursing people, literally cursing people and causing people to just causing chaos, or are we blessing people? And if we're not blessing people, then we have no purpose here on earth. What is your purpose then? That's my question. That's God's question. And so each day is a day or opportunity to do something positive for God. God likes for us to treat each other right. God likes for us to help one another. God likes for us to edify and magnify who he is by how we treat people. And God says the important thing about this whole matter, he says, is the heart. Where is your heart? And God says, why? And if our why is for anything else but to glorify him or to help our fellow man, then God says, perish until you get on the right track. He's talking to all of us, till you get on the right track for God. Because there's no way we can be in alignment with our brothers and sisters, and we're talking about this world, if we have no relationship with God, no relationship with Jesus. We're not going to know how to treat people, or we're going to have particular people who we know how to treat. And that's not a way to make it to the kingdom, and that's not a way to get your prayers answered. God says you must be in line with Jesus and God. No man comes unto the Father but by me, and God means that. So we're going to have to get our hearts right. And then we talked about faith. Man, this is a big word. And I'm going to tell you about faith. God understands that we pick up and we drop our faith. But God says he's not asking for grande faith. He's asking for faith of a mustard seed. He says as long as you can keep that faith of a mustard seed, because God knows that there are some big hurricanes. He knows that there are some storms. God knows all these things, you know. And spiritual faith is that unseen faith in which we know that a real God exists, although he's not physically visible. If you ask me, does God exist, I'm going to tell you, yeah. Because I'm going to tell you, I know what God has done for me. I know what Jesus has done for me. I feel Jesus in my spirit. In Hebrews 11 and 1, we understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Some of us are walking around here on faith. And God wants us to move in that direction where if God has promised us something, God says he's going to deliver. God, he says, I have plans for you. God never planned for us to face destruction. He never planned for us to face disappointments. But he says that he's planned for us things to make us stronger, to make us think, to make us better, so that we can help others. And so, faith. God says, hold on to your faith. He talks about that woman with the issue of blood for 12 long years, and she heard that Jesus was coming to town. And she made her way outside of her home. And she crawled her way through the crowd. And she said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, she could be what? Made whole. That's what she said. And she did. God says, you have to have faith and determination. He says, even when the odds are against you, you have to keep running with faith. He says, it's just like a baton. He says, when you're running, you don't drop that baton because you'll be disqualified. He says, you keep running with faith. He says, I know the storms are hectic. I know that Satan is out there. He says, but I'm here. He says, and you have faith in your hand. You have to keep holding on to it, keep moving, and you have to keep running. We all make mistakes. He says, get up. When you're skating, I gave you that analogy. When you're skating and you fall, you don't stay on the ground. You get up because you don't want to be run over by all the other skaters. And you just get up because that's the thing to do. Right? And he says, sometimes when you're skating, people have to pick you up. It depends on how old we are or how hard we hit the floor. Some people have to pick us up. But we get up. That's the point, through the grace of God. So God says, get up. If you have something that God has given unto you, preaching, ministering, teaching, leading, whatever it is, God says, get up and do it. Somebody made you, get up and do it. Somebody, whoever somebody is, can't send you to heaven or hell. They can send you to hell, but they can't send you to heaven. You have to be bigger. You have to trust in God better. And so, in looking at faith, a lot of people spend time trying to satisfy the world. And we disregard God. God says, you have to please me. That's how you're going to get all these things. That's how you're going to make it to heaven. It's very easy for people to send us to hell, but nobody can send us to heaven. God is in charge of that. And we are in charge of that by how we treat people while we're on earth. Amen. Faith through giving. How deep is your love? The act of giving originates in various forms. And when we look at this, we think about how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now that's God. And God can do that because God created us. When we talk about sacrifice, children or things of that nature, giving up time in order to minister to the word of God, you know, giving up certain foods in order to become healthy, making time for the word of God to study the word of God, making time to help someone, making time to spend time with the family, making time to go to church, making time to be helpful to the community, those type of things. And so we have to be willing to give up something. Now, God gave up his only son, but that's God. God is the only person who can do that. So, no, you can't give up your children. You can't give up your husbands and wife. No. But you can give up your time. You can, if you see charities and you want to give, you can give the charities, right? Those type of things. When we talk about helping, when focusing on helping, we often look to God, our families, churches, schools, and community organizations. And when we look at this, we understand that everything comes from God. And we understand that when we help in any aspect, you got to pray before you help. Because once again, Satan enhanced tactics. So you have to be very cognizant of that. But when we talk about church, when we talk about community, when we talk about normal people who really needs help, we must focus on what God requires. Some people just need someone to talk to. Some people just need, for instance, when we talk about different foreign countries, we're talking about, you know, people who face disasters. You know, they may need donations or things of that nature. And so when we look at these particular aspects, then that's somebody's niche. That's somebody's gift. They're missionaries. They're able to go over and help disastrous places and things of that nature. Then when we talk about hospitality, we're constantly trying to emulate Jesus in the way we love, give, and most of all, treat others, right? And so, once again, with hospitality, you know, if people are going through a crisis or if, for instance, someone passes away in someone's family, we give our sympathy. So God said, not only is it that, but it's being hospitable. Having someone's best interest in mind. And so when we wake up in the mornings, we thank God and we thank God for our families and our friends. When we go out and start our day, a smile doesn't hurt. When we go out and start our day, you know, being hospitable is just treating people like you want to be treated, period. We talk about wisdom. Wisdom is very important. A lot of people correlate wisdom to learning. Mm-hmm. And it's the ability to interpret information concerning that particular situation or subject. As I was doing my hair, I saw some gray hairs, and I said, well, I have some wisdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when we seek wisdom, we're able to draw closer unto God through understanding the Word of God and acting upon the Holy Word with faith. And so the more or the older we grow and the more experiences we have and the more we relate to people, the more we understand what wisdom is. When we look at Solomon, we find out what made Solomon so great. We find that in 2 Chronicles 1:7-12, God appeared unto Solomon and says, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon did not ask for Jordans. Solomon did not ask for anything. He says, Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. And that's the most important thing, having wisdom and knowledge. That's what we talk about. When we talk about dealing with people and when we talk all these other things, we have to have wisdom and knowledge. And we have to always pray and have discernment because we never know the mindsets of people. It's finicky. God speaks finicky. He says, and you have to, God requires, he said, that's part of Christianity. He says, but the devil has a way. He says, but God has a greater way of turning it around for your good. But you always have to understand and recognize to take God with you. Keep God, I'm telling you. Keep God as close to you as possible, especially when you're dealing with the world. Pastoring is very important. People think you have to be perfect to be a pastor. Every pastor has a testimony. Everybody that speaks the word of God is not perfect. None of us are perfect. And everybody who listens to the word of God is not perfect. But the pastor, the shepherd of the church, and in Ephesians 4:11, he says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And whatever God has ordained you to be or called you to be it. A lot of people drop their mantles because of different things that have happened in their lives or because of situations or circumstances. But God says, we're not perfect. He says, I've anointed you, correlated it to this. He says, I gave you. He's talking about those who are anointed to be ministers and apostles and teachers and leaders. He says, I gave you that particular gift. He says, and when you don't use that gift, you're robbing the kingdom of God. Right? And so if God has given you a gift and you are sitting on your gift because you're so concerned about what other people think, think about what God is saying. He says, you're robbing the kingdom. God says, we've all sinned and we're all falling short. God says, keep moving. And that's what you need to do. Because if God has given you that anointing, you must continue to utilize that anointing. We talk about service in the Bible. God expects us to show love toward others through servant leadership. I was at Dallas Baptist, and we learned about servant leadership. And one of the books that we read had someone at the feet of Jesus wiping Jesus' feet. And God says he expects us to be a servant leader. That means if we can do something positive in someone's life, and pray before you do that, positive in someone's life, do it. If you see people along the way, we are to be kind one to another. And in this, I want you to read how Jesus went about helping people. And as I said before, back in those times, they had demon-possessed people and people who was functioning on various levels. And so you always have to pray. We always have to pray before anything. It's very important. But service in the Bible, God expects us to show that servant leadership towards other people. Then we talk about teaching. And there are many lessons to be learned spiritually and emotionally from the Bible. When we talk about teaching, it talks about how to treat others. And those are from the commandments. Talks about Jesus praying. Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. From thine is the kingdom, power and the glory forever. Amen. And that's how God said we should pray. And when you look at that prayer, as John taught his disciples and how God taught us how to pray, God is our Father, and he is in heaven. But guess what? God is everywhere. And day by day, we must pray unto God because we serve a good God. And we know that God was a great teacher, and he taught his disciples many elements of how to live and things of that nature. And we must understand that throughout the journey of dealing with people and being around people, we must continue to edify who God is. When you look at the disciples, God loved each and every one of his disciples, although he knew that some of his disciples were not committed unto him. He even knew that one of his disciples wanted to destroy him, And I'm wondering, God still loved that disciple. God says it's unconditional love. And he says in the world, he says everybody's not going to love like Jesus loved. We know that. But God says as we go out and as we learn and we become wise, God says we must have unconditional love. And that's huge. But we have to exemplify who Jesus is because God says that he has plans. And he has platforms. And he has a whole world who's waiting. And he has doors that are about to be open. And God says that he is preparing us to become better people for him. Spiritual gift, desirable gift activity. I want you to reflect on the gifts described in the section of the book. We talked about various gifts that God has given unto us. We talked about discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, giving, helping, hospitality, wisdom, mercy, pastoring, service, teaching, leadership. But I want you to think about your spiritual gift and what spiritual gift you desire. And I want you to tell us some examples. And when I say tell us, I'm saying write it on paper, and you can inbox me or email me or text me. But tell me some advantages of the spiritual gifts that you have described. And utilize those gifts. And when we talk about that, the main gift is just treating people like you want to be treated. Because, as I said before, we have to get on the level where we love God, we love Jesus, and that way we know how to, we'll be right in line to treat people like we want to be treated. Now, leadership is an important aspect of the church and the world. And so when we talk about that, we have to make sure that we're leading sheep in the right direction. That goes back with having the best interest in mind for every person. Taking the jealousy, the malice, the hate, and saying, I'm genuinely here to help you succeed. Just think if everybody was like that. This would be a great place, right? I'm talking about everybody in the world. That's what we're working towards. All right. Examples, when we talk about examples in the Bible, these are examples of how different individuals, including disciples, obeyed God, had faith in God, led by example. Peter exemplified, we fall down, but we get up. Joseph exemplified, enduring to the end. John the Baptist, he was real. He said, have faith. David, God is with us. Daniel was faithful to God. Isaiah, he was always ready. Jesus, of course, is Alpha and Omega, and Paul was called from the crowd. When we look at Noah in Genesis 6 and 14, we find that God gave Noah specific instructions. I always talk about Noah. Noah is one of my great heroes in the Bible, and God told Noah to build an ark. Great flood was coming, and all the things that were evil would perish. I told you about that. We have to be cautious about our intentions and things that we do unto each other, because God, you know, God, he doesn't forget those things, and we have to pay for those things. God says, you know, you go to a store, and when you pick up something, the expectation is for you to pay for it. And so when we do something to our neighbors, God says the expectation is you're going to pay for it. And so we have to be very mindful of what we do. And so we find that Noah was given specific instructions, and he followed those instructions. He was obedient. So when that huge flood came, he was covered. And so that's about Noah. That's a brief synopsis. Then we talked about Abraham. Abraham had faith in God. How many of us have faith in God no matter what? We talked about faith. God says faith of a mustard seed. He understands that hurricanes come. God understands that things come within our lives. But we must always have faith. And in the Bible, we find an example of a promise that God makes with us. That's in Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And when we think about this, we have to keep faith in God. We have to trust God. Hebrews 11:8-10 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. But he went unto the promised land. And so when God makes a promise unto us, he's going to keep it. And we must continue to trust God. God says we walk by faith and not by sight. And Abraham was walking by faith. Then we talk about Moses taking care of the people, right? And Moses, basically, God's request was to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And how many times have God asked us to go somewhere or do something and we refuse because we chose to walk by sight and not by faith? And so we must continue to follow the will of God. God says you're free. He says you're no longer in bondage. And so when we listen to God, we're able to help take care of the people. Then we talked about Joshua leading by example. And in chapter 1, in Joshua chapter 1, we find ourselves in the middle of an installation service. And Joshua is being installed to take the place of Moses because Moses had passed away. And God promised Joshua that every place that the sole of his foot tread, that he would give unto him. And Joshua was obedient. He believed everything that God promised. And so, you know, Joshua was very, very instrumental. Then we talk about Peter. We fall down, but we get up. And then Peter had a lot of courage. Jesus had summoned Peter to take up his cross and follow him. Peter was obedient, and he began following Jesus. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Then we have Joseph. He endured until the end. You know, when we read the story about Joseph had a great gift. He was able to interpret dreams, and he was able to dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. It's very important. This is what we're talking about, the heart. When something good happens to somebody, we should be rejoicing instead of hating. So it's very important that we rejoice. Then we talk about John the Baptist. This is real faith. This is reality. He's known for preaching repentance and baptizing Jesus. And so, you know, John the Baptist did his job. He went out and he preached the word of God. Then we talk about David. God is with us. Yes, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. David met this giant, right? And David conquered the giant. And so God says that just because there are mountains that seems insurmountable or situations that seems insurmountable, God says he's bigger. And God says that he is always with us, and he's going to always protect us, and he's going to always help us. Then we talked about Daniel being faithful unto God. At all times, faithfulness comes up again and again and again. And we talk about, you know, Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, but he came out unharmed. Why? Because God was with him. Then we talk about Isaiah. Always be ready. A great leader is consistent not only in the word of God, but within his or her calling. Isaiah was a prophet. He believed in the power of God, and he preached that. The world belonged to God. And so, you know, Isaiah wanted the people to turn to God and turn away from evil. He was warning them, you know, to be ready because some things were going to come if they was continuing to be hard-headed. Then we talked about, of course, Jesus being the Alpha and Omega. God is the beginning and the end. And one thing that is very important for us to know about Jesus is that Jesus has authority over our lives. He speaks life and he speaks death. He knows when we're going to be born and he knows when we're going to die. He knows the will of God. He knows every situation that we go through, and he's there, you know. And so the main thing about this is to understand that God is the Alpha and Omega, and basically God is everything. And so within our lives, we have to submit unto God, and we have to place our lives in the hands of Jesus. And Jesus always has our best interests in mind, and Jesus will always bring us through. Then we talk about Paul. Paul was called from the crowd. Think about it. You know, you're in the store, and someone who you're with, they call you on the speaker in the store. Well, that's how Paul was called from the crowd. There were a lot of people there. He was called from the crowd. And, you know, Paul accepted calling. And basically, Paul was just great at what he did. But he was called from the crowd, and he answered his call from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we talk about perfecting our walk in God and being obedient, we understand that, as we said before, we understand that in St. Matthew 4:18-22, that Jesus called his first disciples. And the Bible places Jesus walking beside the Sea of Galilee. And he saw Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and both of those particular gentlemen were casting their nets into the lake. And Jesus says, come follow me, and I'll send you out to become fishers of men. Without question, those two brothers left their nets, and they followed Jesus. There's a song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to make Jesus my choice. And that's the question on tonight. When we perfect our walk, we have more pages to go, but we're going to talk about that next week, God's will. But when we perfect our walk, what spiritual gifts are we utilizing? What has God told us to do or ask us to do for the Spirit or the kingdom of God? And have we done that? God says that in this particular life, there are certain situations in which we allow the dictation of people to cause us to miss our blessing because we function out of the spirit of our blessing instead of functioning out of the unction of God and listening to the voice of God. And so when we look at a spiritual guide on the go to sum up everything that we've talked about on tonight, in order for us to be aligned and in order for us to receive God's grace and mercy and in order for us to be able to utilize our gifts, we have to incorporate love. What does love mean? It means treating others like we want to be treated. God only looks at the heart. Notice that this book is called A Spiritual Guide on the Go, Perfecting Your Walk with God, because the heart is important. When we look at physical education and physical activity, walking is good for the heart, as well as running, because it keeps your blood flowing. God says that when our heart becomes evil, he says we begin to perish, we begin to die. And so it's very important that we begin to live through the word of God instead of the word of evil, because evil causes us to perish. It casts us away. And God says that everything that an evil person touches, it shall not prosper. Why? Because it's not of God. God says everything that he created is what? Good. And if everything that God created is good, it cannot bear evil fruit. Just like, you know, when we talk about genes in science, J-E-A-N-S, but G-E-N-E-S. We talk about genes and we talk about DNA. There's no way if your parents have green eyes, there is no way except through past generations that if both of your parents have green eyes, we talked about this a lot in science, both of them have green eyes, there's no way. There's a maybe a 10% chance that your eyes will just be a light brown. 10% chance. Depends on the DNA. And so God says that if we're really walking by faith, if we're really perfecting our walk, there's no way that we should stop and drop our mantles. There's no way that we shouldn't keep pushing, because God doesn't do that. We belong to God. God said we may pause. He said we may stumble, but we're not going to fall if we really belong to God. And so I want us to really take a look at a spiritual guide on the go. And God says whatever it is, whatever snare, he shows me a spider web. I want you to watch Charlotte's web. Shows me a spider web. And he says sometimes we get in a snare. That's life, y'all. He says, sometimes we get in a snare. It seems like we can't get out of that snare. He says, think of a spider web. But God says all he has to do is reach his hand up. He said, and that spider web is so fragile. He's talking about the devil. His tactics are so fragile because his tactics can't outlast God's power. He says that they perish. And so God says that our hearts must be right. In order to be aligned perfectly with God. And if we're aligned with God, we will have no problem in this world as far as treating people. You will be able to treat people nice who don't know God. You'll be able to go anywhere in this world. You'll be able to go to foreign countries. You'll be able to go to the enemy's territory. And we're talking about those particular places where people just shun God when you speak on platforms. And it won't bother you because you're not concerned about pleasing people anymore. You're concerned about pleasing God, doing the will of God. And so it's very important to exemplify who God is. And it's a big push now because God is saying, you know that I only look at the heart. And we can't fake it anymore. That's what God is saying. Either we're in line with God or we're not. And we have to treat people like we want to be treated. Because God says this. He says, when you go in the store, the expectation is to pay before you come out. He says, when we go out into the world, the expectation is to treat everybody like you want to be treated. He says, oh, we will surely pay a high price. And so we must continue to perfect our walk with God, not because, not just because God says that we're going to pay if we don't, but because it's right. And so when we think about it, when you're driving, somebody cuts you off. The thing is not to try to cut them back or speed up and cut them back off and use some unkind words. The right thing to do is to remain focused, pray unto God, and keep moving. And I'm telling you, I'm going to say it one more time because God continues to stress this. God says, I'm not worried about the fanciness. I'm not worried about any of that. My concern is the heart. And I believe God when he said we're going to surely pay. I believe God. I take God for his word. And just like Noah took God serious about that flood, I take God seriously about whatever he speaks. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, and this is not to scare anyone. This is the word of God. This includes me as well. We have to treat people like we want to be treated. God requires of us, all of you who are listening, because you are my listeners, because you have the best interest in mind for each person that you encounter, because you're part of the kingdom of God, and we assemble here, and we talk via inbox and things of that nature about God, is very important. I'm telling you what God spoke as we went through this book. He says, when you go in the store, and I want you to get this word out, when you go in the store and you pick up anything, I expect for you to pay for it. When you go out into this world, God's talking to me too, and you deal with people that I have placed on this earth, I expect for you to treat them like you would want to be treated, as you will surely pay. That's no joke. And I take God for his word. And that's true. And since we're on, before you go to bed tonight, I want you to pray for as many people as you can. And I want the focus to be on the heart, because God, that's what God is focused on. He's not worried about any attire. He's not worried about our eloquent words. And this is the spirit of God. This is the kingdom. We're talking about kingdom things. We're not talking about worldly things. God says, I'm worried, and I'm looking at the heart. And the question that God showed, he says, in everything that we do, God is looking at our heart and our intention. Very important, ladies and gentlemen. I can say that within these past weeks, I've met some very, very just great people. And God says, these are my children whom I'm well pleased. And God says, the expectation is to treat others how you want to be treated. It's no but God. Doesn't matter. And once again, because we've had two or three joiners, I want to say this. God says, I expect for you to go in the store, pay for it before going out that store. He says, likewise, every person that you encounter, and also who is your sisters and brothers in Christ, and who are your, family, I expect, and he's talking to all of us, for you, point to yourself, to treat you, want to be treated. And then he goes on, or else you will surely pay. And I told the audience who's listening right now, it's 325 people. I take God for his word. And I believe God. And believe it or not, every day I think about how I would want to be treated when I deal with people. And I try to line up as much as possible. We talk about the relationship with God. God talks about alignment. He says align. If you're aligned with God and Jesus, you have no problems how you treat people. But that's a promise. God says you will surely pay. And I don't know what that means. I don't want to find out what it means. But that's a promise from God. So we have to be careful. And we have to maintain and watch our heart. I'm telling you, that's very important. God says the heart, as in the love for God, the love for Jesus, and how we treat mankind. He says, in our heart, as in health. That's going to be very essential, ladies and gentlemen. Telling you. And that's not to be a scare tactic. That's the revelation of God. That's what God spoke. And whatever God speaks, because we're such a close knit on here, and there are other people who listen, but I'm speaking to those listeners who we all look out for each other, and we all are for the best interest of the people that we see on a daily basis. Telling you, if you encounter any individuals out in the world, wherever, you know, pray for them. Pray for their hearts. Because I don't know what God meant by that. You will surely pay. I have no idea. But I don't want to be in that number. I want to treat people like I want to be treated. I want to make sure my heart is genuine. I don't know how to pretend. I have no idea. I know how to write a lot for plays and stuff. I have no idea how to pretend. I don't know. But we have to be real with God. That's the thing. And that's what God, that's the revelation of God. That's what God is speaking. And on next week, God's will, we're going to go into, we're going to be on page, give me just a second. We're going to actually be on page 40, and we're going to look at who is the church, a mobilized church with love and perfecting our walk in God's will. It's very important. Spiritual guide on the go. Okay? Before the announcements, I just want to say that I thank each and every person. God has done some great things. For these past couple of months, I've met some phenomenal people, just wonderful, excellent people. And when God spoke that, I said, "Oof! Thank God I've been treating people great," you know. But for some reason, if there are some of you who are listening who haven't been, my prayer is for you to pray tonight for your heart. And turn from the evil thoughts and evil ways. Because once again, I don't know what God meant by that. I don't know. But I know that once God reveals something, once he gives a revelation and we convey it to the people and the people begin to pray unto God, I know that that changes things. And so my prayer is that if you know that, whether it's a family member that you had, or whether it's individuals that you encounter, if it's you, pray unto God. Because I take God very seriously. I do. When God spoke that, I'm 100% sure that he meant it. And one thing that we don't want is we don't want God, and I'm glad that I have new individuals on here, we don't want God's wrath to be upon anyone for anything that we have said or done to his children, and we all are his children. And so if you're on this line, I want you to begin to walk in the direction of love. I want you to begin to ask God for forgiveness. God forgives, and he restores whatever you're going through. Okay? There's some individuals, I have some new ones on here. And whatever you're going through, pray unto God. Hate is not the way. Forgiveness is the way. And it's hard. I said that. It's hard sometimes. Because everybody's not like God. Everybody's not. They're just not like God. They're not godly. They don't do things in a godly manner. But that's not our job to judge. It's our job to pray. We want to make sure that we pray unto God, that we treat people right, and that we're in line with God. That's the whole thing about this spiritual walk. There's so many, it's like 400 people on the line now, and we have about 15 new people. So I'm telling you that if, I'm just going to say it again, if you're upset, if someone has made you mad, pray, because God has already spoken. And basically, God says if you go in the store, he expects for everything to be paid for before you come out. He said, as you go along your way and you encounter certain people, anybody, whether you're out of town, out of state, in town, wherever, at the bus stop, he says, make sure that you treat others like you want to be treated. Then he goes on to say, or else you will surely pay. He concludes, he says, that's a promise. And I said to my audience who was listening, because now a whole bunch of people, I said to my audience, I believe God, and I take it very seriously. And I went on to say that. I said, within these past months, I've ran across some phenomenal people, and I was so relieved. Because, I mean, I've just been, God has blessed me, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I'm excited for the day. That's just how I am. I'm excited because I get to see people, my family. You know, when I come home, I'm excited. When I go to church, I'm excited, you know. When I go to the dentist, I'm excited, you know. But that's just how I am, you know, but... When we wake up, let's think about that. And it doesn't mean that all day, every day. You're just, you know, because there's some times in which, you know, but for the most part, we need to be thankful. We need to be grateful. And we need to just have fun while we're here. You don't know. This is the thing, though, right? You don't know day nor the hour. And we talk about this a lot. I mean, because we have to talk about it, especially when we're ministering. You don't know. It's always good to treat people right because you just don't know. And you don't want something to happen to someone and you're upset with them or you don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea. But I know what God said. And that settles it. I believe it. And I'm going to do what God say do. And he says, you, talking to us, do unto others as they would have done unto you. Do unto others. He says, treat others like you want to be treated. Period. And that's when God came with that other. And I believe it. And telling you, I'm going to say it one more time before we go to announcements. It's very important. Every person that you encounter, treat them like you want to be treated. When you wake up in the morning, be thankful. God didn't have to wake us up. He didn't have to start us on our way. He didn't have to put people in our lives who are just phenomenal people. He didn't have to do that. But he did. He did. And we should be thankful. And if you're not around phenomenal people, you must become phenomenal first, meaning your attitude. God sells first. Very important. When you come home, you should be happy. Right? If you're not, pray. When you go to sleep, before you go to sleep, pray that you won't have nightmares. Pray that you'll dream about something great. I'm just telling you this because God said it. He spoke it, and I believe it. And that settles it. Just treat people right. Because I don't think that none of us, matter of fact, I know for sure that none of us want to deal with God on that level. We have to do it. We have to treat people right. Make that a goal. We're going to talk about that on the ministry, all right? But I appreciate all the new individuals. Someone inboxed me. And guess what? You're not the only one. You know, we're all in this process together. But just do that. Make sure, you know, starting now, take off the hatred, the jealousy, the malice. Take all that off. Treat people right. Turn from your wicked ways. I'm telling you what God said, and I believe it. All right, let's move on. Be sure to encourage your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/freedalove. Or go to afreetoloveshow.com and click on afreetoloveshow.com. Or click on Love's Radio, yes. And then go to afreetoloveshow.com or stellogospelmusic.com, and you will be right in the studio. Gospel artists, writers, actors, actresses, promoters, anyone with a positive message, please, 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 you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love to have you on the ministry. In addition to that, make sure that you continue to pray for all of your family members. When you pray for all of your family members, put them all in one line and pray for them one by one. Do not forget to pray for yourself and pray for those you know and those you do not know. Why? Because the prayer of the righteous avails much. In addition to that, make sure that you check out our freedomloveshow.com. We have some exciting things on that website, as well as stellargospelmusic.com. Also look at our freedahubpages.com and look at LinkedIn under our Free to Love and connect with me. If you need a speaker or you need a gospel artist, all you have to do is email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I've answered all of the emails. If you have any more emails, please send them. If you would like to be a guest on the ministry, it's emonya_love@yahoo.com. Send your bio and a picture and let me know some available dates and times. We want to make sure that we continue to pray for this world, and we continue to pray for our president, and we continue to pray for just the people in our hearts and our minds, and we want to just continue to do what's right and acceptable in the sight of God. Remember that we studied a spiritual guide on the go. Remember, the underlying factor is our hearts. What is in our hearts will come out of our mouths, and we must make sure that we treat others like we want to be treated. In addition to that, come back on tomorrow, God's will. We're going to have a praying with love and power. We're getting back on schedule. Be sure to call somebody, text somebody, and tell them that the AfritaLoveShow.com is back in effect, as well as StellarGospelMusic.com, which is a sister station. Also, let your friends and family know that we're coming with many different things. We have many different charity organizations that we're partnering up with at the end of this month, as well as we're going to have many different events going on. We're going to start back with our playwrights, and we're going to do some great things in the community and the city. In addition to that, make sure you continue to pray unto God and ask God to become a better person. We all need to become a better person in the Spirit of God. Make sure that you continue to pray and keep the faith and know that God is always by your side. In addition to that, as I conclude this particular ministry, if someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. Until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Alfreda. Love.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet. The Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry. Featuring your host, Dr. Alfreda Love. Reminding you to be diligent in your prayer as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is His Word. And on that, you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus.